This is CBS Eye on the World. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're headed to lunar orbit thanks to Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. He's watching very carefully the Capstone mission. Bob, Capstone is on its way to the moon. What is the status? What is Capstone? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Capstone is a small sat lunar orbiter. It's supposed to be, and it's an engineering and technology test mostly to not only test the orbit that it's going to go into the orbit that the Lunar Gateway is supposed to be in, and it's an unusual orbit, so it's going to be testing operations from that orbit. It's also a technology test of a small sat being used as a planetary mission, and so it's doing both those things. In doing a course correction about a month and a half ago, it had a serious problem. Started to tumble. There's another part of this that's an experiment. The spacecraft was built for NASA by a private company, Terran Orbital. We'll get to them later. And it's being run by a private company, Advanced Space, managed by them. And so NASA is not really involved with it other than they're paying the bills. They're the customer. And Advanced Space, the engineers at this private company that are managing the spacecraft, they had a tumbling spacecraft and they did a lot of work to get it under control, and they realize they've got a valve issue, and they've now figured out how to do course corrections with that valve issue. The valve is apparently open and is leaking, but they're not clear on exactly how badly, but that requires them to do other adjustments to make sure the thing's going to do what they want it to do. And they did a successful course correction last week, and it worked, and so they are definitely on course to enter lunar orbit on November 3rd. 13th. They've got two remaining course corrections they've got to do before they arrive in orbit, but it seems like now they've got the situation under control, and that's kudos to this private company, Advanced Space, for managing the spacecraft with some intelligence, John.
Commercial lunar lander. Bob, this is fabulous. It's like a FedEx truck. The Japanese lunar lander is called Hakuta R. What is its pay package?
We have talked about this before, but they've now set a launch date. They had to delay the launch date a week or two, and they're now setting the launch for November 22nd of this year on a Falcon 9 rocket. The lander is built by a Japanese company called iSpace. They were competing for the Lunar Google X Prize to put a private rover on the moon. No one ever won that, but they continue to do the work on their Hakuto lander, and they've got payloads, and one of their payloads, and the big, most important payload, the most significant one, and the one that will generate the most press, is the Rashid rover from the United Arab Emirates. The Rashid, it's basically it's about the size of a radio flyer red wagon. It's going to run for one lunar day. That's about 2 weeks on the moon during the daylight. Once it hits night, it won't function anymore. Its main mission, like Hakuto, by the way, is to test the engineering, to teach, make sure they know how to do this, make sure it's going to work, and also to train the engineers to do it. So a Japanese private company, they've got a second mission already planned, so they want to sell payloads on that as well. But success here will demonstrate that it's worth buying a payload space on a future lander from them. And same thing with Rashid. The United Arab Emirates wants to teach the engineers how to do this kind of stuff. And so they built this rover, and they're going to land it on the moon and operate it. And it's got a camera, but its main experimental test is really clever. They put adhesive patches of different materials on the wheels. And so what they're really going to be doing and taking pictures of these patches, they're designed to see how each material interacts with the moon's very abrasive dust. And so they will roll the rover around, take pictures of the different patches of different materials, and then they'll try to figure out, well, gee, what kind of material will be best to work on the moon that can deal with this very sharp and abrasive dust? They wonder how it works best. Very clever and very useful. It's information we absolutely have to have. And so that's coming November 22nd, John, private mission to the moon.
And we go to Earth orbit now. This is China's Tiangong 3 space station. Bob has a graphic up so you can see. It roughly looks like what the ISS looks like, but the Mengtian module, what is that for, Bob?
Well, we're going from smart private space to stupid government space here, John. Though, even though the Tiangong station is really brilliant work by the Chinese, I will say that. And the graph actually makes it looks really much more like an updated Mir station, John, than ISS. And it really is an upgraded Mir station. It's almost exactly the same basic design and concept in almost every way. The Chinese basically used Soviet blueprints and then upgraded it. So they launched this past weekend the final major module, Miangtian, to attach to the Tiangong station. It's now docked. And so they've got all the major modules up. They still have to launch and deploy some major solar panels, and there's other work they have to do to finish the station. But all this major structure is now in orbit. But the stupid part of this has to do with China and the rocket that launched the Miangtian module. That's the Long March 5B rocket, John. Your listeners and you will remember the Long March 5B. It's the most powerful rocket the Chinese have. It's also the rocket that has a core stage that's engines cannot be restarted. So once it's gotten the module Miangtian into orbit and released it, and it turns off its engines, the thing is out of control. But it's big enough that the core stage will crash on the Earth. And so we're going through this soap opera again, John. The core stage is in orbit right now. It cannot be controlled. Sometime in the next week, it's going to come crashing down to Earth. We have no idea where it will do that. And so that's a violation of the Outer Space Treaty, which China is a signatory is in. And, of course, nothing can be done because they don't really respect treaties. Why sign a contract with them when you know they're going to violate it? And so that's the story coming of the next week. Where will the core stage of the Long March 5B crash?
Will we get good information when it crashes, Bob?
The problem with this is that you can't predict this very precisely. As it gets lower in orbit, the predictions will narrow and narrow down to an hour, maybe, but that's about the best we'll ever have. And an hour margin of error in an orbit covers about half the Earth. And so that really doesn't narrow things very much. For example, one of the earlier Long March 5B launches, the core stage, when it came down, it ended up coming down off the coast of Africa. But had it come down just 15 minutes earlier, which could have happened, it was within the margin of error, it would have come down in the New York City metropolitan area, right over the Northeast, which means it had a good chance of hitting things that we don't want it to hit. And so we're in the same boat here now with this new core module because China is refusing to deal with the problem. They very clearly aren't. I was watching the launch of the Miangtian module, and their engineer they were interviewing during the countdown. He was very detailed knowledge, but when it came to talking about the core stage, he sidestepped this issue completely as if it did not exist.
What is Terran Orbital?
Now Terran Orbital is the company that builds satellites of all kinds. It's a startup and builds mostly small sats. It built, for example, Capstone for NASA, and it's a very successful company. It was going to build its own constellation of radar satellites to try to provide service to both the military and private enterprise in that area, but it's changed its mind. It's not going to do that because by doing its own constellation, it's competing with its own customers that buy its satellites. They decided, we'll just make the satellites for everybody else. We won't run our own constellation. It's too complicated, and they made this decision in conjunction with an agreement with Lockheed Martin to invest $100 million in Terran Orbit. That's the real story here. Lockheed Martin is going to commit through 2035, giving this company $100 million investment to buy things from the company, things like radar satellites, advanced payloads, sub-assemblies, part of the satellites, for their own satellites, because Lockheed Martin makes its own satellites as well. And so, Terran Orbital is now in a position to really become a major company. And since they did build Capstone, they have already demonstrated they have the ability to do this kind of stuff well.
We go to Scotland. I get confused, Bob. There are Scotland launch sites and there are Scotland launch sites. This one is for Orbex. It's different than Virgin Orbit, correct? Different place.
You got three, John. It's really confusing. Virgin Orbit takes off from a runway. It's planning to take off from the western southern tip of England in Cornwall off a runway within weeks. But there are two different spaceports for vertical rockets being built in Scotland, one on the Shetland Islands and the other in Sutherland, Scotland. So there's two there, and they're all a lot of S's, Scotland, Shetland, Sutherland, so it makes it easy to mix them up. The one in the Shetland Islands has a bunch of different companies. It's under construction. The one in Sutherland, it's called Space Hub Sutherland, it has signed a 50-year lease with a British startup rocket company called Orbex. This 50-year lease allows Orbex to build its own dedicated launch pad at Space Hub Sutherland and to launch rockets there for the next bunch of years. I was trying to get clear clarity on whether or not this is an exclusive contract for the spaceport or it's just Orbex's own pad, and I'm not clear on that at the moment. The impression I'm getting is right now Orbex is basically the operator of the Sutherland spaceport. Whether others will launch out of there, we'll find out over the coming years. Orbex itself has raised about $100 million in private investment capital, and they hope to launch their prime rocket next year. They have a prototype that they've been testing on a launch pad, and so this is another space operation going into operation, John, and it's in the UK, not in the United States.
Falcon Heavy now is part of Bob's count of the launch race of 2022. First, what is Falcon Heavy? What is the significance of its launch and the space race? How does it go, Bob?
Falcon Heavy is the largest rocket presently available worldwide. It's SpaceX's version of a Heavy Falcon 9. It's got three stages instead of a single stage in the first, and so that makes it able to launch as much as 50 tons. It had not launched for the last 3 years, and it wasn't because Falcon Heavy had any problems, but all of its customers' payloads were having problems, and they were delaying launches for their own problems, and most of those launches actually were military launches, American military launches. Well, finally, this week, SpaceX launched Falcon Heavy rocket for the first time since 2019, quite successfully. Once again, it was quite spectacular. The two side boosters both landed almost simultaneously at Kennedy Space Flight Center. You're watching the video of them coming down right next to each other. It's just still so amazing. They did not recover the core stage intentionally because they needed the fuel to get the payload into orbit. It's a military reconnaissance classified mission, so we don't know much else about it. What makes this launch significant? It was the 50th of SpaceX for the year, which continues to be a record for them. It was the 70th American launch this year, which now ties the record for the most successful launch year of the United States since 1966. With 2 months left in the year, we're going to smash that 1966 record. And what's really significant is that was a government-set record. It was all government missions. This year, it's all private enterprise that's doing it, John, competing private companies. SpaceX might be the big elephant, but there are plenty of others in the mix, and that means we've got competition and innovation, John.
What's this, Bob? Blue Origin has delivered BE-4? Quietly?
Yes. I need to make this a bigger story, but according to a press release from Blue Origin, they have delivered the second flight-worthy engine, finally to ULA, only 2 years behind schedule, and now ULA has two flight-worthy engines, which it needs for the first stage of its Vulcan rocket, and they can now install those engines in a rocket and begin to do, dress rehearsal countdowns and engine tests of their own to prepare for what they hope to be an early launch next year, the first launch of Vulcan. And they desperately need to get this launch off because they're running out of Atlas V rockets, and they've got lots of customers waiting for business, including Amazon. And so that's a piece of good news. We'll have to wait and see how good it is, but the bottom line still remains, can Blue Origin mass produce these engines? Right now, the impression I'm getting is they build them by hand, and that's not how you run a company like this. They have to produce a lot of engines because they need engines for both the New Glenn rocket, their own, and they need them for the Vulcan rocket, and that just requires a mass production line, and they haven't yet demonstrated they can do it, John.
BE-4 engine, this is the press release, provides 550,000 pounds of thrust and has completed an extensive development program. Does that mean they've tested it on Earth? Has it ever launched, Bob?
No, it's never launched. They've done a lot of static fire tests along the way. They found a lot of problems. They spent a lot of time fixing those problems. Apparently, they've now fixed all the problems. It's worked in static fire tests that Blue Origin has done. Obviously, ULA will do its own tests. It also has to do some tests in the fueling and launch procedures and countdown procedures. And so that'll happen as well. And then hopefully it will get a launch or we'll get off next year.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next, especially a potentially dangerous asteroid. I'm John Batchelor.